Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Back on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810, WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. A very soggy, not soggy, foggy. Yesterday was soggy, today is foggy. Oh, I cracked myself up. My name is Brad Porter, Joshua Byers is running the show. Chiefs have the day off today, so you can pick pretty much any game you want. Or you can put it on that red zone and just watch all the scores go by and track your fantasy team all day, whatever you want to do. Just wrapped up with Clint Scholes talking Royals baseball, talking about some of the top prospects and who the next manager of the Royals might be, the best personality to guide the Royals through their next era. Joining us now on the line is our good friend Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com and 810WHB.com. Matt, have you been out to see the fog this morning?
I looked at the window at the fog. it's fog.
I know, but it's just, I mean, this was, I haven't seen fog this thick in a long time. It was kind of fun. I kind of find it nice to look at. It's not fun to drive through, but it's nice to look at.
It can be quite majestic.
So you were up at a wedding reception last night, and I was up late because my oldest was at a tournament out of town and came back at midnight, 12:30. So I was up till like 1:30, 2 o'clock, got up at 5:30. So I'm in a little bit of a fog this morning. I had to start pouring the caffeine down.
I am not far behind you. As a matter of fact, I am enjoying a fine glass of chocolate milk to start my Sunday morning.
There you go. You get a little iron, some positive calories. There you go.
Exactly. The breakfast of champions.
You know what I did not know, Matt? This is, why would I know it? So my oldest, who I was talking about a second ago, this is his, the first year he's run cross country, and I don't know anything about cross country other than they just run. And there's training involved in their strategy and all that. I get that. I never did it, so I don't understand everything that goes on, but it's, I go out and watch. But they give you, the dietary list of what you should be consuming during the week, what you should eat and drink on the night before a meet, the morning of a meet, and then after the meet. And chocolate milk is high on the list for cross-country runners.
Who knew? I could have been a cross-country runner. Well, except for all the other things that I do in my life.
I used to run, but not competitively. That would not end well. Hey, before we get into the Chiefs, there's always drama in the National Football League. There's a couple of things going on right now. The offensive lineman from the Jets, I'm not sure how you pronounce his name, Asamili. Something like that. So he's had a banged up shoulder all year. He had a banged up in training camp, banged up to start the season. He missed a couple of games. He was back in. They're giving him shots of that painkiller Toradol, I think, which retired players say is just awful for you. It's bad for your body and it has long-term effects. And then he told the Jets, last week or the week before, I can't play. I hurt all the time. I'm in so much pain. And the Jets said, well, our doctors say you don't need surgery. You need to take a shot and get back out there. And then maybe the Jets were hiding MRIs and x-rays from the doctors who were giving a second opinion, and now he's going to sue or file a grievance? I mean, this is just it's a crazy story.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane. I mean, just the allegations that are coming out of this and what's been reported so far. I mean, we'll see. We obviously made it the he said, she said situation. But I think it does shine a bit of a light on the fact that, of what these players have to go through sometimes in order to play. And I think, they do make a lot of sacrifices. There's a lot of players that certainly, I think, either shorten or change the course of their post-playing careers with some of the medical treatments that they have to go through. And it's not, I don't think there's any ill intent whatsoever, but sometimes the desire to win and to play and to make money and all of these things, I mean, it puts people into some really weird positions sometimes. And this is just I think the latest example of, you know, how sometimes I think that the priorities in this game can get a little bit skewed.
Yeah, and I've got the friends who played in the 80s and 90s in the National Football League, and some of the stories they have about the things they had to do, things they had to take, things they had to get injected with just to be able to play a game is just, sometimes it's kind of sad because you're playing on a body that shouldn't be playing, but you take something just to get through it. So, you know, hopefully there's less and less of that in the future, and they find some new ways to get that. The other story that's causing some drama this weekend, which I find quite hilarious personally, involves the Patriots and Tom Brady. Have you seen the story?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so if you have not seen the story, so Tom Brady filmed this kind of vignette with Kansas City's own Paul Rudd for a new Netflix comedy series called Living With Yourself, which I'm told is hilarious, and I'm going to check it out because Paul Rudd's fantastic. So they shoot this commercial, and Tom Brady's in it. And Tom Brady is walking out of this place called the Top Happy Spa. And Tom Brady says, first time? And Paul Rudd says, uh-huh, you? And Brady says, sixth time. And it's supposed to be in reference to his sixth Super Bowl championship. But some people are inferring that it's a joke on Patriots owner Bob Kraft for his visit to the spa/massage parlor before the Chiefs-Patriots AFC Championship game last year. And Tom Brady's upset that that's what people thought about it. Tom, how do you not see the connection? I think this is hilarious that Tom Brady has to deal with this.
Yeah, you know, to a degree, it's exactly what he should be dealing with. I mean,
yes,
as great as a player that Tom Brady has been, and you know, Hall of Famer, I mean, all these things, you could certainly argue he's the greatest quarterback in NFL history, all of these things. But some of the stuff that he's done and said in his career and does not see any irony, any of these things that people, everyone else sees, he just feels like, it acts like sometimes he just lives his life in a bubble.
And he does.
Based on, you know, exactly. I mean, just based on some of the things he's done, you look back at the attitude that he had during Deflategate, all these things. To not see the connection and to not understand why people are seeing that way and to be so indignant about it. I mean, yeah, it is the most Tom Brady thing ever. But yeah, it's just like, good grief. I mean, get a clue, man.
Well, Tom Brady and the Patriots are always looking for a reason to feel aggrieved, to feel disrespected and have a chip on their shoulder. Nobody believes in us was the whole thing last year. I'm like, Tom, give it a rest already. So this video comes out with him and Paul Rudd, and he's coming out of a spa, and so people are, you know, making the references, and Brady's like, I don't like that you bring this up. You're taking it out of context. This was agreed to a year ago, and it was written 4 years ago. No, it wasn't. The script for the promo was not written 4 years ago. Maybe it was. I just don't think so. But I'm like, Tom, get over yourself already. You're worth hundreds of millions of dollars. You got six Super Bowl rings. You're married to a supermodel. You're going to be worth $1 billion at some point in your life. Just get over it, man. But it's funny.
Yeah, it was. I watching him defend that and to get so defensive about it, just like, Tom, nobody's buying. Just stop selling. Stop digging.
You're
because
right.
This isn't. But you know what? That right there is the Patriot way.
Yes, it is. And now the rest of the season, it'll be, everybody said I was making a joke about the owner, and nobody believes, it'll be back to nobody believes in us again, and blah, 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 and they'll probably win another Super Bowl, whatever. So we're speaking with Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com and 810WHB.com. Chiefs with the off day today. They'll play the Patriots next Sunday on Sunday Night Football. Obviously the big story, and it's all over the morning shows again today. Top story remains Patrick Mahomes, and Ian Rapoport is tweeting out that it looks like it's 3 to 5 weeks. I don't think that's new news, but that's what he tweeted out this morning. But Patrick Mahomes, we've had a couple of days to digest this now, to think some things through, to think about scenarios. It's going to be Matt Moore until further notice. Are the Chiefs in a good spot? Obviously, Andy Reid's been through this before, but are they in a spot where they can handle this for the next 3 to 5 weeks without falling apart?
Yeah, I mean, I think they are. I mean, you know, and I guess it probably depends a little bit on what your definition of falling apart is. I mean, I think if they were able to get through the next four games, which is it looks like are what he would miss, and you walked out of that with a 2-2 record, I think you're in great shape. You know, you're 7-4 at that point. I should probably still ahead in the AFC West, in a very good playoff position. So you're fine there. I mean, and even if you stumble a bit, you know, this team's got a little bit of a cushion. But I think they've got the talent around Matt Moore on offense to be able to move the ball a bit. I mean, I do think there's some areas of concerns based on the short time that you saw on Thursday night, you know, that they, except for one big hit to Tyreek Hill, offense really didn't do that much. But you get a game plan that's catered to Matt Moore. We're going to learn a lot about this offense in the next few weeks, especially, I think, the run game and the offensive line. And you're hoping that the defense continues to play well and keeps that arrow trending the right direction. But they can withstand this, absolutely. You know, this is a team that and Matt Moore, I mean, Alex Smith, don't get me wrong, is a better quarterback than Matt Moore. I mean, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But this is a team that, you know, it's gone 12-4 without Patrick Mahomes. So there's no reason to believe that they're just going to curl up in a shell and roll over. I mean, this team should be fine.
We're speaking with Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com and 810WHB.com. No Patrick Mahomes for the next 3 to 5 weeks. So on Matt Moore, I mean, as soon as the injury happened, well, Matt Moore's not going to be able to do the things Patrick Mahomes can do. Well, no duh. We all know that. That's not a secret. But there's a couple of things I'll point to. One, I don't know Matt Moore personally, but he comes off as a really smart dude. I remember watching him in the Hard Knocks with the Dolphins. I thought he was pretty intelligent, and I thought it was funny the way he kind of rolled his eyes whenever Joe Philbin was talking, because Joe Philbin was not cut out to be a head coach in this league. So he comes off as a pretty smart guy, which I think he is. He's been around a while. He knows the game. And the most encouraging thing I saw from his performance Thursday night, yeah, they didn't put up a ton of points, but in particular, the touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill, not only the throw, which was in the bucket, behind the defensive back, and in a great spot for Tyreek Hill to take off and run, but the pressure was coming, and he took a sidestep and then moved up in the pocket. And for a guy who has not played a game in 2 years, that was a good sign for me that he still has a good understanding of the game and can still read it. Now, I'm not saying he's going to throw for 300 yards and four touchdowns. I'm just saying he looks like a guy that still understands what he needs to do to perform in the National Football League.
Yeah, exactly. And with everything on Thursday night, like I said, you know, the offense obviously not clicking once he came in. Remember, I mean, he's only been with the club for, what, 7 weeks?
Yeah, it was the end of the preseason, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I was talking to Travis Kelce after the game, and, you know, and he mentioned to us that he's like, everybody, there was not a receiver on the field who'd ever caught a ball from Matt Moore before. You know, I mean, he's been a number two quarterback, which means, you know, it's a lot of scout teamwork. It's very little, if any, work with the number one offense. So, you know, that was a whole new thing. I mean, and not knowing the offense, you know, as well as you can. I mean, 7 weeks is not enough time for a quarterback, I don't think, to learn an Andy Reid offense. I mean, it's just the reality of it. But that's going to change. I mean, you know, he should look much better when they have a game plan that's catered to him. He's got a week of working with the team, working with, you know, the first team offense, getting on the same page with everyone. Things will look better. I don't think there's any doubt about that. It's just going to take some time, and he should look much better with a week of preparation than he did with no warning whatsoever.
I'll tell you another encouraging sign when he came into that game. I mean, backup quarterbacks know that they could get in a moment's notice, but you know, most of the time you go into a game pretty much understanding that you're wearing a ball cap and listening to the earpiece, and you're not really going to be needed. Matt Moore came in with the eye black on. He was ready to go, Matt, and that's big in my book. That's huge.
Yeah, I mean, that's a veteran move right there.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy's been around for a while. He knows, hey, you know what? Any moment, the ball cap's got to go off, clipboard, the tablet's got to go down. I'm going to go in.
Yeah. We're speaking with Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com and 810WHB.com, talking about life without Patrick Mahomes for at least 3 weeks, maybe 4 or 5 weeks. We don't know yet. We don't know how his body's going to react. None of us are doctors. If we were doctors, we'd be fabulously wealthy and not doing this. But Matt, the other thing in this that I think we've all kind of kicked the tires on is, will the Chiefs sign another quarterback to back up Matt Moore? Because your only other option is Kyle Shurmur, who's a rookie, who I didn't think was that great in preseason. That's fine, learning to develop. And I read this story on SI.com, SportsIllustrated.com yesterday. And look, Matt, I'm sure you know some of the people at Sports Illustrated who lost their jobs in the last couple of weeks. Some really good, solid writers, particularly writers that cover the National Football League, because Sports Illustrated was bought out by a company whose reputation is we're slashing everybody of quality and we're hiring people to write clickbait for $10 an article and, you know, give you three paragraphs. That's the way it's going to be now. And that's, you know, they can take their ball and take it home, whatever they want to do. So I printed off a clickbait piece yesterday about the Chiefs and who they might sign to back up. And two things they suggested, this writer, trade for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Nope. Not for me. Or trade for Marcus Mariota, who's due $21 million next year in his fifth-year option. Matt, I read stuff like that, and I want to bang my head against the wall. I'm like, do you follow the National Football League? Do you follow the Kansas City Chiefs? Now, if Brett Veach trades for one of those guys, I'm going to look like an idiot. That's fine. Actually, they'll look like an idiot. But I read those two names. I'm like, are you kidding me? Have you watched them play? No.
Yeah, I had the same experience when I saw the piece and everything. It's like, okay, well, yeah, no, that's not really, I don't think, two options that are in the ballpark. The Mariota particularly, I mean, you know,
right.
unless the Titans were just willing to give him away for like an additional seventh round pick, because the Chiefs had no interest in the fifth year option. They're not paying Marcus Mariota $21 million next year. No, that's not going to happen. So Fitzpatrick, I don't think that's really quite the direction this team needs to go. But I go back to what I said earlier about Matt Moore. There's absolutely no reason to go trade for a quarterback, because anyone that you could get that would be available at this point, you know, one, if they were better than Matt Moore, the team would have signed them already. So there's no free agent out there that's going to be coming in to save the day. And once again, I mean, if what you believe is that Patrick Mahomes is going to be out 3 to 5 weeks, that's not enough time to become familiar enough with the offense, you know. So at that point, Kyle Shurmur's your best bet. I mean, there's just, I don't think, a reasonable solution out there. Now, there's the third name in that story that was mentioned. And, yeah, I mean, Colin Kaepernick, I've thought for a long time would be a great fit with the Chiefs, but for what this team's trying to do and where they're at right now, it's and what's the situation, it's not the right move for this club.
No, I don't think so either. We were kicking this around with Nick Jacobs yesterday from 41 Action News, and I kind of threw this out there just for entertainment value and grins and giggles. Well, I kick the tires on Jay Cutler, bring him in, and just have him sit on the bench for 3 weeks and have something to talk about.
Oh, we would definitely have something to talk about and, you know, get to enjoy some smokes and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking with Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com and 810WHB.com. So other than Patrick Mahomes and the quarterback situation for the next 3 to 5 weeks, the Packers are coming up. They're taking on the Raiders today, so I will definitely be taking in that game to do a little scouting for what the Chiefs are going to see. They're 5-1. They're off to a good start. Their offense is okay. Their wide receivers are banged up a little bit. Their defense has been outstanding, and that's going to be a huge challenge for the Chiefs next week on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, it will. I mean, of these four games that you might not have Patrick Mahomes, I mean, this is the toughest game of the group, particularly just because of that defense and the worry that, hey, eventually Aaron Rodgers and that offense is going to click. It's a home game. That's great. You know, it should be a fantastic environment at Arrowhead, and maybe that will certainly help. But this will be the biggest challenge. I mean, if the Chiefs win this one, good grief, you know, 4-0 a stretch with the Patrick Mahomes is certainly in play.
Sure.
I mean, you can't rule that out. So, I mean, and for all the reasons you said, I mean, yeah, the defense is playing extremely well. This is a good, well-rounded team. And so I think we will learn a lot about the Chiefs, you know, in this Packers game.
Aaron Rodgers will come in here, and I have not gotten to watch a lot of Packers football this year, other than some highlights here and there. I'll look at it more this week. But as you look at Aaron Rodgers, where is his arm strength and talent level now as opposed to 5 or 6 years ago? I mean, obviously you can't stay young forever, but is he still, for you, one of the best, you know, 3 to 5 quarterbacks in the National Football League?
I think he would be. I mean, you're right. I mean, he's not the same quarterback he was a few years ago. The injuries have kind of taken their toll a little bit. And then the offense around him, surprisingly, isn't as good as it used to be. I mean, I don't think that the offensive line has protected him as well. He's certainly not as mobile as he once was. The guy's 35 years old, so eventually it's going to catch up with you. So the question is, you know, can he transition the way that a Tom Brady has into a little bit different quarterback at this stage of his career? You know, compensating for the fact that the arm strength isn't as there as much. You know, he's not as mobile as he used to be. You got to change your game, and we're going to see if Rodgers can do that. But so far, I mean, yeah, those, you're right. I mean, it doesn't look like the arm strength is quite as strong as it was. The offense around him has had a lot of injuries and some issues. But he is the kind of quarterback that still, I mean, he makes smart decisions. He knows where the ball needs to go. He can still make big plays at the big times. And it's interesting. He's never really, I don't think he's ever had a defense as good as they have right now, too. So, I mean, this might be their opportunity, you know, at this point for him. If he can make the transition, acknowledge that he's not the same guy he used to be.
Absolutely. We're speaking with Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com and 810WHB.com, and the Packers that we'll watch and scout for Chiefs purposes today. He'll take on the Raiders. And the Raiders, I still haven't quite figured out who they are yet. I don't think they've figured out who they are yet. They started off and kind of looked terrible, and now they're right there. If the Chiefs slip and fall at any point, the Raiders are right there, Matt.
Yeah, nothing about has surprised me more than the Raiders being 3-2. I mean, if you told me that at the beginning of the season, you could almost knock me over.
Right, me too.
Because the team's a, you know, the roster's a train wreck. The environment seems to be a train wreck. I'm not sure that John Gruden's anywhere close to the coach that he used to be. But so far, they're balling. I mean, they're playing well, and you know, they certainly could have. I think a couple of things have gone their way. They could have beat the Chiefs, and they'd be 4-1 at this point. So you got to take them seriously. I mean, they're too close not to, but I still don't know how they're doing it. I really don't. I mean, I still think that's a team with some serious weaknesses. It helps that Derek Carr is playing really good football for him right now. And if he maintains that, then, yeah, they can go a long way. But this team, it certainly still seems like a team that's got a lot of flaws, and eventually those should catch up with them.
Speaking of the Raiders, I did see a tweet this week about the Madden Curse video game, the Madden Curse being alive and well because Patrick Mahomes is on the cover. Do you know who was on the cover last year?
It was Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
And that turned into a circus. Oh, my gosh. Hey, Matt, I'm coming up on a timeout here. Would you be able to stay for just a few more minutes?
Absolutely.
Okay, I want to run down the schedule of games today, and you give me a thumbs up or thumbs down on who's worth taking in today. Other than the Packers and Raiders, we got to watch that game because the Chiefs are playing the Packers. But roll through some other games, and you give me a thumbs up or thumbs down, okay?
All right.
All right, we'll take a quick timeout. We're visiting with Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com, and 810WHB.com with the Chiefs off day today. Still plenty to talk about. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810WHB. Back on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810, WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. Oh, God. I just looked at the TV screen and they showed a shot of Mike Davis, the Raiders owner. Oh, that was horrifying. I really didn't need to see that this morning. I'm glad I haven't had breakfast yet. I'd be Ralphing right now. Ugh. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. By the way, it's amazing I have not called you Joshua Briscoe at this point, since I tend to stumble over a name here and there. But Joshua Briscoe and I will be back next Sunday night covering the Kansas City Chiefs and the Green Bay Packers in Sunday Night Football. We are still talking Chiefs here with Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com and 810WHB.com. Matt, I don't know if you've got the ESPN on with the pregame show, but that video of Mike Davis was Mark Davis, pardon me, the video they just showed. You know, millionaires should be able to afford a decent haircut and also have somebody in their life that will tell them you look ridiculous.
Yeah, we're assuming that the bowl that they use for that haircut is not a high, you know, expensive bowl. I mean, that could be a really expensive bowl they're using. So maybe he is getting what he pays for.
Maybe him and Bill Gates go to the same barbershop.
I think Bill Gates has got him beat on the hair department. All that heck. I mean, that's not even a contest to me. I mean, yeah, it's a 1-5 and an 0-16, but they're miles apart.
I almost wonder if Mark Davis has a hairpiece, because who would walk into the barbershop and say, yeah, this is what I want. That looks good.
It perplexes everyone.
Doesn't it, though?
Maybe it says a lot about maybe that the Raiders are not as financially well-off as people seem to think that they are. Sometimes.
Nope, they're out of money. I read that a few months
ago.
They're
out of money.
With the new stadium coming online, they are literally out of money. And they're going to be in debt before two. They're going to be the one team in the National Football League that'll be in the red or in the black. Which is it if you're in debt? Whichever one it is, they're going to be losing money. They'll be the one team in the National Football League losing money.
Which it really doesn't seem possible, because you know owning an NFL team this right now is just a license to print money. I mean,
right.
There's just too much out there, and yeah, I mean, things have been going great in Oakland. I mean, the attendance is down, and that stadium has not been a great place to try and mine some money. But they should be fine in Vegas. They should be just fine.
By the way, real quick, before I get to today's schedule, and you can tell me what you're going to watch and not watch. You travel with the Chiefs. You've been to a lot. I've been to a lot of stadiums. You've been to a lot of stadiums. One, I'm looking forward to never going back to the Oakland Coliseum again, unless the Royals are in a playoff game with their playoff series with the A's, because the A's don't appear to be leaving anytime soon. But are you looking forward to the trips to Las Vegas and their new stadium next year, and also the new stadium in Los Angeles next year?
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, I had a conversation with Adam Teicher from ESPN, and he's going to miss Oakland. I mean, mostly because he doesn't want to go to Vegas. And Sam Ellinger was really against Vegas, and I completely understand it, because, you know, I mean, it's every weekend for the Chiefs that go to Vegas, it's going to turn into a bachelorette party. I mean,
right?
You know, I mean, that's what Vegas is. I mean, hey, I'll enjoy it. I mean, hopefully, you know, get over, play a few hands of poker. That's a good time to be having in Vegas. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be chaotic every single week. And the nice thing is, I mean, I think for the visitors is that that's going to be a prime attractive.
Oh yeah.
Trip for teams to go to, for fans to go to. I mean, it's a relatively cheap trip. I mean, you can get there easily, especially from Kansas City. So. Yeah, I mean, I think that that's going to be a neutral site game for the Raiders.
Yes, 100%.
It's going to be great, but I think it's going to be great for opposing fans.
Well, and I kind of brought that up last week. You saw the crowd for the Steelers and the Chargers. It was the Chargers or the Rams last week, 2 weeks ago, in Los Angeles. It was like a Steelers home game. I think it was the Chargers. It was like a Steelers home game. That's going to be the same thing in Vegas. If it's not 50-50... it could be 60-40, 70-30 for the visiting team every single week. Because nobody in Vegas is I don't want to say nobody, but there aren't as many diehard Raiders fans, I don't think. But that's going to be heavily tilted towards the visiting teams every week.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, and they should pick up, fan base pretty quickly, you know, as far as, you know, any time that a team relocates or a new franchise starts. I mean, people are going to slowly jump on the bandwagon. But it's going to take some time. I mean, you know, I think there's even, you know, like, look at the Nationals and where they're at right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, when they first started out, you know, it's in a city where everybody is a fan of somebody else. And, you know, it wasn't a real strong partisan Nationals environment, but now it is. I mean, they've built that up. And I think the same thing will happen in Vegas, but I think it's going to take some time before, you know, people and the fan base there really decides, hey, you know what, this is our team. And given the Raiders' history, I mean, they should wait because, you know, I mean, this is a new stadium, so the Raiders should be there for 30 years. But, you know, the Raiders.
Yeah.
I figure they're going back to Oakland at some point. That's what they do.
Right. Well, Vegas did embrace the hockey team. Of course, it helped that they were winning a ton of games and got a Stanley Cup. So, but they seem to enjoy that. We're speaking with Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com and 810WHB.com. All right, the National Football League today, Matt. We get to sit back and relax and enjoy it. No pressure with the Chiefs off. You can put it on the red zone or you can take in a whole game. So let me run down the schedule, and you just tell me thumbs up, thumbs down, or no way in hell am I watching that game. Or definitely watching that game. All right, noon slate first. Are you ready?
Ready. Let's
okay. Rams at Falcons.
I'm kind of interested to see what the Rams defense looks like this week, who plays and how they play. But other than that, no. That's the only thing I have interest in this game.
All right, Dolphins at Bills with Buffalo as a 17-point favorite.
Yeah, no punt. Thumbs down. Big time thumbs down.
Oh, man.
Only thing that would make that game work is if it were, you know, November and it was snowing. But no snow?
Yes.
No.
Right. Also in the noon schedule, Jaguars at the 0-6 Bengals, Jacksonville favored by 5.
Yeah, no, I'm going to have to go 3 thumbs down on that one.
3 thumbs down on that one. All right. Vikings at Lions, Minnesota a 2.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I think this is a pretty good game. I mean, you know, the Lions are, I think, what Chiefs saw them, so they're better than the 2-2-1 team. I mean, I think their playoff quality, I mean, this is their chance to prove it. Two pretty good teams. So, and another one is the Chiefs are going to face in a couple of weeks. So I definitely want to tune into this one.
Yeah, the Lions would have a winning record if they didn't get royally screwed by the referees last week. Ugh. I still seen the replays during the week. I'm like, seriously? Hands to the face? Try again.
Yeah.
Not even close. So Vikings-Lions, we get a thumbs up on that one. And Raiders-Packers, thumbs up, right?
Yeah, I mean, two pretty good teams. I think you're going to learn a lot about the Raiders today. So, yeah, let's check that one out, too.
All right, Green Bay, 5-point favorite in that game at home. Also on the noon schedule, Texans at Colts.
Yeah, probably one of the better games in the AFC this week. So, two, I think, playoff-caliber teams. I mean, maybe both of them are going to be playoff teams. Chiefs have seen both of them. I think it's going to be interesting to see how these two teams compare to each other. So I'm looking forward to that one.
Colts at home favored by 1.5. That's as close as it gets.
I'd probably go with the Texans, but
yes.
that point spread is justified.
Let's see. Two final noon games here. Thumbs up or thumbs down? Cardinals at Giants.
Oh, no. This is the one where I probably say it's a snoozer, forget about it, and it's going to be 51-48.
Yeah.
Best game of the day, but no.
Giants favored by 3.5. You do have two young quarterbacks. Over-under on that is 50, so Vegas saying that could see some points in this game. All right, final noon game. I think I know what your answer is going to be on here. Pretty easy. San Francisco at Washington.
Yeah, the only thing I'm going to mention about this game is that it gives me the opportunity to tell a story about seeing a Jimmy Garoppolo alternate jersey at Mile High on Thursday night. So the Jimmy Garoppolo 49ers alternate jersey showing up at a Chiefs Broncos game, strong.
By the way,
this game has no use. No.
By the way, they showed him on the screen here on the pregame show a little while ago. Ladies think Tom Brady's a pretty handsome dude. I think Tom Brady got Jimmy Garoppolo out of New England because Jimmy Garoppolo, I mean, he's a good looking dude, man. Like a movie star. Okay, let's see. And that's San Francisco's favored by 10 points in that game.
That should clear that easy.
Yeah. So, 3 o'clock slate, 3 and the 3:25 starts. Chargers at Titans.
Yeah, that's a game I would have thought at the beginning of the season would be pretty good, but now it's two teams are going nowhere. So, I'd pass on that one.
Is this the last? Was this season? I mean, the Chargers had people voting for them to win the division this year, and I'm like, okay, we've seen that every year, and they don't. So is this the last? Was this the last real opportunity for Phillip Rivers to get something done in San Diego? Is this the end?
I mean, he's getting close because when I do see him, it just doesn't look like the zip is still there on the arm. I mean, he's definitely, I think, on the inside of his career. But the Chargers are just such a problem because it's a talented team, and if they can get through a season without 18 crippling injuries,
right,
they'd be in pretty good shape. I mean, I think they'd be in good shape now if they didn't have half the injuries that they've had. But until the curse on that franchise ends, and you're right. I mean, Rivers, I mean, as far as what his career and his ability to win goes, I mean, the window's pretty closed. I mean, if it's not this season, it's next. I mean, there's not much time left.
And there were so many star players for the Chargers that went down all the way back to training camp. You get all that heaped on you, and you think, okay, maybe we can eke through before we get some guys back. And then Melvin Gordon says, "I'm not playing. I don't want to play."
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're missing offensive linemen, you're missing your star running back, you're missing your star safety. I mean, and not to mention other guys too. So yeah, I mean, it's just if you took away those type of players on every team, every team turns into 2-4.
All right, Titans favored at home over the Chargers by 2.5. 3:25 this afternoon, Saints at Bears. Yes or no?
Yeah, that should be a really good game. Saints play great defense. Bears play great defense. It might end up being a 14-10 game, maybe even not that much. But these are two really good teams. That should be good to watch.
Yeah, and look, I find it exciting, too. One, they're two really good teams, but you know, I've never met Teddy Bridgewater. I haven't had to cover him in my time, but I just root for the kid. I think he's got good character. He's been, you know, the presumptive starter before in his career. He's accepted backup roles in his career, and now he gets the chance with Drew Brees out to kind of show what he can do for a few weeks, and he just keeps winning, and he's a likable guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to root for a guy who's gone through as much as he has. And to be embraced by that fan base, I mean, it's a really cool story. I mean, even though, you know, hey, Drew Brees is going to come back, but what he's been able to do has been a really neat story, I think, in the NFL this year.
Yeah, and especially, you know, not especially, but also part of that Bridgewater story when his leg got destroyed a few years ago, it looked like his career might be over, and he had to do a lot to get back on the field. By the way, the Bears favored at home by 4 points over the Saints. One more 3:25 game. Ravens at Seahawks. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
I mean, it's two good teams, but two teams that relatively bore me. I mean, Seattle, I mean, Russell Wilson's a great player to watch. I mean, and he could do some incredible things. So watching Russell Wilson's not boring, but the rest of the team, yeah. I mean, these are just two teams that I don't know if those matchups make fights, and I'm not sure this is going to be a great one, but we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong.
You don't want to tune in for the Marcus Peters Part 3 story?
I am kind of interested to see what Peters does and how he fits in and everything. But I don't know. For some reason, this is just a game that just doesn't appeal to me. I mean, like I said, it's two really good teams, and it should appeal to me, but for some reason it doesn't.
You know, I thought about this last week when the Ravens traded Peters to the Ravens, and then they turn around and get Jalen Ramsey from the Jaguars. Because when the order of events was, Marcus Peters was traded first. And my thought was, third team in 5 years. And for all the Chiefs fans who were upset when the Chiefs traded him, you know, we all heard the stories. I heard the stories personally from people who saw it happen when he almost got into a fight with a coach. And had to be separated. It was far different than, you know, Travis Kelce put his hands on Eric Bieniemy. This was different. This was going to go down as a fist fight between Marcus Peters and a coach. And some of the some Chiefs fans were like, that's no big deal. That happens all the time. They should be able to deal with him and put up with it. Well, he's on his third team. That should tell you something. And I'm sure the Ramsey thing was in the works anyway, and they needed to move somebody. But when you're on your third team this early in your career, that should tell you something.
It does say something because players just don't get traded very often in the NFL, so they get traded twice. It tells you something. It also, what the Rams got back, even though it's a different point in the career and the contract as it goes. But heck, the Rams got less than the Chiefs got in their trade. Tells you that the Chiefs got as best a deal as they could in sending him to the Rams. And it also tells you that if the Rams felt that they needed to move Marcus Peters, knowing that they've already lost Aqib Talib,
yep,
it tells you that they did. The Rams had no faith that Jalen Ramsey and Marcus Peters could coexist.
Boy, that would be fun, though, right?
Just
entertainment value.
That's why they made the move, because they knew it was going to just blow up in their face. But and remember, you know, Chiefs a couple of years ago had the 28th ranked passing offense with Marcus Peters. They could have been in the same boat. I mean, you know, this year, I mean, if they were still struggling against the pass, badly as they've been in the last couple of seasons, and Jalen Ramsey were available, you couldn't put those two in the same field. I mean, no. I mean, the Rams realized it, so I think it says a lot.
Absolutely. And by the way, Seahawks favored at home by 3 points. The night game tonight to end the Sunday, Eagles at Cowboys at 7:20. I mean, obviously the tradition and history is there, but Eagles-Cowboys, is that must-see TV tonight?
Yeah, it kind of is. I mean, partly because, it's Eagles-Cowboys. I mean, those matchups are usually pretty good. Two very enigmatic teams. I mean, a lot of people thought the Eagles would be better than 3-3 at this point. The Cowboys should have been better than 3-3 at this point, the start that they've had and the play that they've been getting out of some of their guys. So, you know, Jason Garrett, got to think that at some point it's going to be an end of Jason Garrett. But, man, that guy has survived a lot. You get to see Doug Peterson. So, you know, it's got some interest for some Chiefs fans.
And one of those teams will be under 500 by the end of the night tonight, unless they end up in a tie. But yeah, Jason Garrett, look, I know he played for the Cowboys, but does Jerry Jones love him that much that he continues to put up with this?
And Garrett's been there long enough that it's not like if he chases him out now that people are going to say, oh, well, you know, Jerry Jones, coach killer. It's not the case. I mean, you know, maybe he's just concerned about who he's going to get at this point. And maybe the relationship is just that strong. Maybe he just likes him that much. But
well, that's good for the rest of the NFL, because then they don't have to worry about the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they're doing. And maybe this is it. Maybe they move Kellen Moore up. Maybe they go out and find somebody else completely different. But at this point, if it hasn't worked with Jason Garrett, it's not going to work with Jason Garrett.
No. Final thing for you, Matt Derrick. We went through the Sunday slate. Since the Chiefs have a day off today, we get to pick anything we want to watch. The Monday night game, Patriots at Jets. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
At some point, Monday night became the new Thursday. These matchups are horrible.
Yes.
I have no idea why ESPN is paying for this package, because the NFL just gives them just one massive piece of crap every single week. And this, I have no idea why somebody at the beginning of the season said this is a game that we've got to put on the primetime schedule.
Because it's the Patriots, and we get to talk about
it. I get it's a local game for ESPN, because 90% of the viewers from ESPN are in Boston and New York. But
right. I seriously hope that the broadcast crew not only shows the Tom Brady, Paul Rudd promo for his new TV show on Netflix, I hope they talk about it the whole game and show clips of Tom Brady being uncomfortable. That would just be, that would make my Monday night, Matt. But
you're just taking it out of context, Brad.
I just
don't get it.
Oh, well, how could you interpret it that way? Shut up, Tom. Anyway, you got $1 billion. Leave us alone. Your life is great. Hey, Matt, I appreciate you taking time on this rare Sunday off as someone who covers the Chiefs. Always like the time and to talk to you and kick things around, and enjoy the rest of your morning and the rest of your Sunday. And if the fog breaks up here shortly, which it should, hopefully get outside and enjoy a nice day.
I've got to go wash my car, so I'm looking
there forward
to it.
There you go. You know how to live, Matt Derrick.
Living on the edge, man.
Sorry. Hey, Matt, thank you very much. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Brett. Good talking to you.
All right, that is Matt Derrick. From ChiefsDigest.com and 810WHB.com. Always good stuff. You got to kick things around. Just because the Chiefs are off doesn't mean we take a day off from talking about them. There's plenty to talk about, both with the team and around the National Football League. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back and wrap up hour number two, and then we'll head to 10 o'clock hour and do one more. And then we'll hand it off to network coverage of the National Football League for, oh, Well, there's NFL talk, and then we have the race from Kansas Speedway on today. So I'll set that schedule for you, too, in the 10 o'clock hour. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Josh, I really should know who this is, shouldn't I?
Kind of, but it's an instrumental, so...
Oh, okay. Well, I don't listen to a lot of instrumentals, so...
The correct answer is Drake.
Drake? It seems odd that Drake would do an instrumental, maybe?
The Hotline Bling. That's the dance move.
Okay, all right. Now, okay, I've seen guys do that. NBA and NFL try to pull that off. I'm not pulling that off. That'd just be ridiculous. My kids could pull it off.
Give it a shot.
I did... You know, the Beastie Boys had a great instrumental album years ago. I'm trying to remember, God, I have it, and now I'm trying to remember the title, but it was kind of funky, bluesy, jazzy, hip-hoppy, a little bit of everything. It's really cool. It's just a nice album to put on, like on a Saturday or Sunday morning and just relax while you're making breakfast. All right, we just wrapped up with Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com, 810WHB.com, and Josh, I'm looking at... the pregame show. Is this... No, this is the ESPN pregame show. Since... What time did you get here this morning?
About 5:45.
About 5:45. So you've been at this for a while. I got here about... Well, sometime between 6:30 and 7. And we've had this pregame show on all morning. It feels like it's been 10 hours of just waiting for the first game to kick off today at noon. It feels like that. And we're done with the show. We're still going to have another hour. By the way, at 10 o'clock, if you could do me a favor, if you could find NBC Sports on one of the satellites, because it's a big day for in my household, it's Manchester United versus Liverpool Day. Huge!
Okay.
My oldest and I are Liverpool fans. Jake Gutierrez is a Manchester United fan. I should have put a wager on the game with him.
I've been a big fan of Lacazette, even when he was, you know, on, what, Crystal Palace, Everton?
I think so. Yeah, one of those, yeah. One of those teams. By the way, Rudy's Everton squad, they got a win yesterday, but they could get relegated. They're playing that bad right now. That'd be bad for Rudy. Rudy Salazar. My youngest is a Tottenham fan. I think he picked Tottenham just to piss me and his older brother off. It's all right. They got a tie. Taco Salazar, who people follow on Twitter, he's a Tottenham fan. They had to score in like the 80-something minute just to get a tie yesterday. That was not a good performance for them, so... 10 o'clock, I'll be mildly distracted. We'll also be joined in studio by Karen Huey from Team Cura. What is Team Cura? She's going to tell us what it's all about. Take a quick time out. Come back for the final hour. You're on Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB.